Good to see you all tonight as we continue our study in 2 Peter. It's been a blessing just studying these passages on my own, so I hope and trust the Lord will bless us as we look into His Word tonight. So if you would turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 for our text tonight. I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever had anyone that you love, anyone that was close to you, who experienced loss of their memory? Maybe it was a grandparent, or maybe even if you have a few years on you, as I do, it'd be a parent. It's a terrible thing. It robs elderly people of their past. It robs them of things that they've done in their lives, events. And even robs them of the memory of people they love. The truth is, as we all get older, we begin to forget things. I know some of you will identify with this. I have to make a list for the next day of certain things I have to do because if I don't write it down, forget it. It's not happening. So we have to remind ourselves of these things. When we come to the spiritual realm, it makes no difference how old you are. We all need to be reminded of God's truth. Continually reminded. We need to remember these things. Wouldn't it be great if you just read, let's say through a book of the Bible, if you read the entire book of Genesis, and somehow you could just recall every verse? Imagine that, if somehow we could just recall everything that we read. But not in these fallen bodies. That's not the reality of it. So we need to be reminded of God's truth. And Peter is unapologetic about repetition in his letters. He makes no excuses, no apologies for using repetition in his writings to reiterate these truths. And in fact, all good teachers we'll use that technique of repetition, repeating things over and over again, truths, so they stick in our minds so that we remember them. And in the passage we're going to look at tonight, Peter is going to be speaking very directly in the first person. And he's going to tell us tonight, and we're going to draw from our text three reasons why you and I need to continually be reminded of God's truth. So turn, you have your Bibles out, look in 2 Peter, and tonight our verse we're going to begin in verse 12 through verse 15. Peter begins, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." And as we jump right into the text tonight, the first reason why we need to continually be reminded of God's truth is simply this: we are prone to spiritual forgetfulness. In the spiritual realm, we are prone to forgetfulness. Now he begins verse 12 with the word therefore. He's building upon those first 11 verses, and we saw all of the truth that he set forth in those verses. And he says, "I will always be ready to remind you." Peter is saying, "I'm continually going to be ready to remind you." Peter, that's his pastoral concern. There's an importance, there's an urgency to him reminding these believers of this truth. And the Bible is filled with admonitions from the Lord, God using his servants to continually remind his people. We find this all throughout the scriptures. Turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Let me give you a few examples of this. Where believers are called to remember God, to remember God's truth. Exodus chapter 13, in verse 3. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten." And we know the whole Passover that was to be celebrated year after year for the Israelites was for the purpose of remembrance, that they would remember what God had done on that first Passover, how he led them out of Egypt, right? And how they were spared the firstborn because that blood was put on those doorposts, and how the angel of death passed over the Israelites' firstborn, but the Egyptians' firstborn were taken, and they would have this Passover celebration as a reminder. And here God says to Moses says to the people, "Remember this day." Turn over to Psalm 103. And here David is going to give an admonition. Psalm 103. And verse, look at verse 17. David says, "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant," and look what he says, "and remember his precepts," or his words, "to do them." David speaks about remembering the precepts of God, remembering the word of God. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Even in the New Testament, Jesus is in the upper room, and you remember he's teaching the apostles. He's getting them ready for his departure the next day. It's a very difficult time for them, an emotional time. But look in John chapter 15, verse 20, what Jesus says to them. Jesus says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Now Jesus is referring back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. So Jesus is reminding them of this truth that he has already spoken to them. And the last one I want to show you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And Paul is admonishing Timothy. And look in verse 7. Paul says, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel." Throughout the scriptures, and that's just a sampling, over and over again, God's people are continually called to remember God's truth, to be reminded of God's truth. And of course, the Lord's Supper, we look at the table. What does it say? "In remembrance of me." Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? To remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a forgetful people. We need to be reminded of these spiritual truths. And another reason why it is so important that we not forget these truths is it's dangerous because we're vulnerable to be deceived by false teachers. Now, when we come to chapter 2, we're going to see that Peter is going to dedicate that whole chapter to dealing with false teachers who are having a horrible influence on the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember we said we divided the whole book, the first chapter, we could say is about faith. Second chapter deals with false teachers. Third chapter about future things. So he sees the importance of this, that they not be vulnerable to false teachers, the imminent threat, but also that believers not fall into all kinds of sin and all kinds of idolatry by forgetting the truth of God's word. And things were so bad in Israel at a certain point in their history. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter, you don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 17, in verse 10, Isaiah says, "For you have forgotten the God of your salvation." Not only did they forget what God has done, they completely forgot God, and you've not remembered the rock of your refuge. He says, "You have forgotten God." And it's extremely important, Peter says, that we be reminded continually of God's truths. And of course, those come from God's word. In the book of Hebrews, I think, of chapter 12, when he's admonishing them about the discipline of the Lord. And he begins, the writer of Hebrews, around 12, verse 4 or 5, he says, "You have forgotten the word that was admonished to you." And he quotes from Proverbs. "You've forgotten these things." Now, if we look back in verse 12 in 2 Peter, he says, "I will always be ready to remind you of these things." And he says, "Even though you already know them and you have been established in the truth which is present with you." So Peter's readers already knew these truths. They already knew what he's bringing to their mind, what he's calling to their mind. And he says here, they were established in the truth which is present within you. They had a knowledge, they had been confirmed and strengthened in these truths. There's evidence that these men and women are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are established in the truth. What does he mean when he says established in the truth? Well, the truth primarily of the gospel, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back in verse 1, and you remember when we looked at those verses. It says of our Lord Jesus Christ, it calls him, first of all, at the end of the verse, the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. You remember we saw the truth that Jesus is God, that Jesus is God in human flesh when he walked this earth, the divinity of Christ, but also that he is Savior, that he is the one who brings about redemption, and he can only do that because he was God and is God. And then at the end of verse 2, Jesus our Lord speaks of his rule, his sovereignty, his reign. So when he says you are established in the truth, he says these believers are established in who Jesus Christ is. He's God, that he is our Savior, that he is our Lord. They are established in all these truths. Even though they know these things, they need to keep these central truths in the forefront of their thinking. And that's what Peter is admonishing believers. Because we're prone to spiritual forgetfulness, we need to have these truths continually in the forefront of our thinking. Now, the truth that he mentions here and the truth of God's word is not only objective, but it is once for all given. That's what Jude says in his book, that the truth of God is once for all delivered to the saints. Contrary to what many people believe today, or at least some people believe, and what these false teachers believe in Peter's day, God is not giving any new revelation today. God is not giving any new revelation. We have the Word of God, the canon of Scripture is complete, all 66 books of the Bible. God has given us everything we need to know for life and godliness. It's all revealed here for us. Now, I understand when, especially if you're a new believer, and even if you're a believer for many years, when you and I are reading the Word of God and all of a sudden we learn a truth that we didn't know before, for us it becomes a new truth, right? But it's already been revealed in the Word of God. It may be new for us, but we're getting it from the Word of God. It's already been revealed. The Word, there is no new revelation. It's complete, and it has already been revealed to us. Now, what is the remedy for being influenced by false teachers, as we said, that Peter is going to deal with in a few weeks? What is the remedy for us as believers falling into sin, getting involved in all kinds of idolatry? Well, first of all, we need to remember what he said back in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Just to briefly reiterate that, you remember what he said in verses 1 through 4, how Peter set forth all of these blessings, all of these resources they have as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things that God has done for them. You remember, we spoke about that we had a new identity in Christ. We spoke about the fact that we have an apostolic faith. We've been given a faith the same as the apostles. We have a true knowledge of Almighty God, a relationship with Him. Right? Remember, we saw that. Not only that, but we have the divine power of God. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, we have the triune God living on the inside of us. And then he also said, we are partakers of the divine nature. We need to remember all these things constantly. But then we saw last week that we are called in our sanctification to diligently add to our faith, that we are to pursue. That we are to pursue these character qualities, moral excellence. We saw that. We are to pursue knowledge of God. We are to pursue self-control, godliness, perseverance. We are to pursue brotherly love and love of the brethren, love of God, all of these things. But turn to Psalm 119. And I want to look at verse 14. Psalm 119, verse 14. And the psalmist says here, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. In other words, I have rejoiced in your word as much as in all riches. He rejoiced in the word of God. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts, on your word, and regard your ways. I'm going to ponder your ways. And then verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes. And then he says, I shall not forget your word. The way not to forget God's word is to rejoice in the word of God, to meditate upon the word of God, and to delight in the word of God. That should be the focus of our lives. That should be the driving force of our lives in the Word of God. That's how we will not be prone to this spiritual forgetfulness. Now, as we turn back to 2 Peter, second reason tonight, second reason why we need to continually be reminded of God's Word, and that's simply this. We need to be stirred up in our soul. We need to be stirred up in our soul. Look what he says in verse 13. Peter says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Now, Peter, being a pastor, Peter had this sense of personal obligation to these believers. He was obligated to remind them while he was still alive, because look at what he says. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, that's his way of speaking about this earthly body. He calls it an earthly dwelling. It's, excuse me, it's a similar phrase that the Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. You remember when Paul is speaking about, he calls it this earthly tent. We live in this earthly tent. And really what it does, whether he calls it a tabernacle, a tent, an earthly dwelling, it speaks about the temporary nature of these bodies. Think about it. A tent is not something for a permanent dwelling. We use a tent when you go camping. When the kids are little, sometimes you have them sleep outside in the tent, but no one spends 20 years living in a tent. So it's a picture of being temporary that houses our immortal soul. And that reminds me of back in 1 Peter, where Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he describes believers who reside as aliens. He says we are aliens. And in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 11, he describes us as being aliens and strangers or sojourners. And Peter is saying here, while I'm in this earthly body, and he's speaking of the fact that this is all temporary. These bodies we have are temporary. And that's the point he's driving home. We're just passing through. We're sojourners in this world, just passing through. And more we see God's people and believers, God calling believers home, we realize just how temporary these bodies are. But Peter says here, I consider it right. He says, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. And that word stir, or the phrase stir up, it's an intense admonition. He's saying, really, I want to arouse you thoroughly. I want to awaken you from your sleep. I want to spiritually awaken your soul. And when we speak of the soul, we're speaking of our mind, our will, and our emotions, that which is the core of who we are as people. And turn over to chapter 3, verse 1. And here you'll notice Peter says, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you. So he's referring back to 1 Peter. But he says here with this letter, in which I am stirring you up, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. So Peter says, I'm seeking to light a fire under you, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. Truth of the matter is, as believers, sometimes we can become very spiritually dull. We can become spiritually sluggish, spiritually slothful. Paul, when speaking about the priority of love, says this in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, do this. But then he says, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first began. Paul is saying, listen, believer, you and I, we need to wake up. We need to be stirred up, he says. You need to wake up. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Paul says this, so then, do not sleep as others do, and let us be alert and be sober. He says we need to be awake spiritually. And Peter says here, by way of reminder, by me reminding you continually of the Word of God, I'm seeking to stir that up within you, the truth of God, to awaken you to the reality that the time is now, time is passing. We need to be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even though as believers we're established in this truth, we need to continually be reminded of these things. Listen to what Schreiner says. He says, believers know the gospel. He says, and yet they must, in a sense, relearn it every day. Isn't that interesting? He says, we know it. But there's a certain sense where every single day we need to relearn the truth of the gospel. And we as believers, we should never get over the truth or see dull the truth of the core of the gospel. Gospel's not just for unbelievers, it's for believers to hear those truths over and over again. And Peter knew firsthand what it was to become spiritually weak at times. And I wonder, as Peter is speaking of their need to be stirred up, if he even thought of himself way back in the garden, many years earlier. You remember when he went with James and John and in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, stay over here and stay awake. And you know the story of what happened. He couldn't even keep his eyes open. He was physically dull and spiritually dull at that time. So calling to mind these truths, what does it do? It stirs up our love. It stirs up our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we recall the gospel, when you and I read the truths of Scripture, or we hear the truths of Scripture preached from the pulpit that talk about who we were before we were in Christ, when we think about what the Bible says, how lost we were in sin, how we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and when we read and we hear about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary, how he sacrificed himself, that atoning sacrifice for us, that stirs our hearts. When we think about the cross, when we think about the new life we have in Christ, when we think about all of the blessings we have in Jesus Christ, that should stir our hearts to worship, to praise him, and to seek to know him in a greater way, to know his character in a greater way. And that's what Peter's hoping to do, to arouse a desire in them to serve God in a greater capacity. Now, Peter knows, we're going to see, that his life is coming to an end. And this is his last words, really. We could say this is his farewell address to these believers at this time. And like Peter, all faithful pastors, shepherds, need to consistently, week in and week out, remind God's people, stir up God's people by way of the truth of God's word, the truth of the scriptures, spiritually feeding the sheep. That's the role of the pastor shepherd. We saw that when we studied 1 Peter chapter 5. I think back when my wife and I first came to the church, it's hard to believe it was 9 years ago, over 9 years ago. And when Pastor and Shirley had invited us to the house, and we shared our testimonies and a time of fellowship, and Pastor was basically sharing what the, I don't, wouldn't even word it as that, but what the ministry philosophy of the church is. Now, I've been in churches where to explain their ministry philosophy, you got a book about that thick. And it spoke about this is the strategy and this is our paradigm, and I don't even know what that means. But here's what Pastor said. Here's our philosophy, very simple. We just relentlessly, relentlessly preach, teach the Word of God. Keep bringing the Word of God because our trust is that the Word of God is going to change people's lives. It's the Word of God that's going to change people's hearts. Those who are lost, God's going to use His Word to bring salvation. Those who are believers, God's going to use His Word to bring about sanctification. And praise God, we've seen that in our midst in this church. And what a blessing it is to see that. Pastor had the analogy, and loving the beach as I do, it really resonated with it. It's just like the waves on the shore. Just keep pounding the shore over and over. And that's what God's people need, the word of the living God, to be reminded of these truths, that we don't forget them. These truths never get old to us as believers. We never forget them. I don't want you to turn there, but just listen to Psalm 119. I'm going to go back to this, and I want to read to you verse 93. The psalmist says, I will never forget your precepts. I will never forget your word, for by them you have revived me. You have revived me. And I think of what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The word of God revives us in the sense in salvation. We're born again through the word of God. The word of God, the Spirit of God uses to bring life, but also in the lives of believers. God uses his word to continually revive us, to stir us up. And sometimes we can grow cold. We begin to drift in our walk with the Lord. All of a sudden, we're not as excited about these truths as maybe we were at a different time in our lives. We need to be in the word of God, to have our souls revived by the word of God. That's what Peter's seeking to do. He's seeking to stir these believers up, deepen their spirits. So the first reason we need to continually be reminded of these truths is we're so forgetful spiritually. Second reason is we need to be stirred up in our souls. And the final reason, the third reason tonight is simply this, is that we need to be prepared for the days ahead. We need to be prepared for the days ahead. As we look back in our text tonight, look in verse 14. Peter says, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Now look in verse 14. Peter knows his death is near. And he says here, how does he know that? How does Peter know? He says in that verse, our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. Well, if we turn back to John chapter 21, and Jesus is risen, and you know he has appeared to the apostles on that first resurrection night, then 8 days later he's appeared, and now he appears to them. And in 21, verses 15 through 17, you remember that Jesus restores Peter, and three times he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep, Jesus says. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Three times. And of course, we know he asked him three times because how many times did Peter deny him? Three times. So he restores him. But then look at verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, speaking to Peter, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, this he said, signifying but what kind of death he would glorify God. So, Jesus is telling Peter, the day is going to come when you grow old, that you are going to be led where you don't want to go. And when he says you're going to stretch out your arms, he's speaking about how he's going to die. He's speaking about crucifixion. And we know from church history that Peter was crucified in Rome, and that's exactly what happened. And he says, you're going to be led where you don't want to go. So now as we turn back to 2 Peter, so Peter has known that prophecy all these years. All these years later, some 35 years at least later, Peter has known that. Jesus said he was going to be an old man. Now, in that first century, the average lifespan, the lifespan of a person was somewhere around 40 years old. 40 years old. So if you were Peter's age, Peter was probably in his late 60s, perhaps his early 70s. In that day, that was considered very old. That would be the equivalent of today, someone in their 90s. So here Peter is, he knows he's old. He knows the prophecy Jesus has given him. And he also knows fierce persecution has broken out in Rome. Fierce persecution. Believers have been, excuse me, scapegoated by Nero. And Peter can read the writing on the wall. Peter knows persecution's breaking out. I'm old. Jesus said this is going to happen. He put the pieces together and he knew I don't have much time left. And it could be that he died within 1 year of when he wrote this book. We don't know for certain, but it is quite possible that that happened. He knew time was running out. And I love the way he puts this. Look at the way he speaks of death. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. What a picture that is. When you go home tonight and you're getting ready for bed, whether you have a shirt on, ladies, you have a blouse, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take that garment off, just lay it aside. He says, that's what we're going to do when we leave this earth. When you go in the funeral parlor and you see a believer in Jesus Christ laying there, he or she just laid that body aside. That earthly dwelling that was just, God laid it aside, and they were immediately in the presence of Almighty God. What a picture that is. And Peter, look at this. He had no fear of death. Peter had no terror of death. How casually he says, I'm ready to just lay this thing aside and go on and be with the Lord. What a picture of how he views that. See, death to Peter wasn't the end. Death was the beginning. That's how Peter viewed it. And he stresses here in verse 15, I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. So what Peter's saying here, he says, after I'm gone, that word departure is the same word that is used in Luke chapter 9 in the Transfiguration when Jesus is speaking with Elijah and Moses, and Luke says they're speaking about his departure, his death. Peter, he says, after my departure, when I'm gone from this world, when I'm home with the Lord, and Peter seems to be implying that there's going to be a source that you're going to be able to recall these things that I taught you. And I believe he's speaking, first of all, about this book. Peter's saying, you're going to have the Word of God, you're going to have this book that I've written to you to recall these things, to bring them to mind. And as we saw in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, this is my second letter to you. So you're also going to have this scripture, the first book I wrote you to draw upon. Later on in chapter 3, he speaks of Paul's writings as scripture. And not only that, some scholars think he may even be referring here, in addition to that, the Gospel of Mark. Because Peter was Mark's mentor. And more than likely, he was a main source of Mark's gospel. So Peter is basically saying, you're going to have all of this scripture to draw upon when I'm gone. All of this, you're going to be able to call to your mind, he said. Now, how you and I are preparing today will determine how ready we are for the trials tomorrow. How you and I are preparing today will determine how ready we are for the trials of tomorrow. And that's why Peter says here, be diligent that at any time after I'm gone, any time, in other words, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, any time that may be, you will be able to call to mind the truth that I brought to you, that is in your word. What the Holy Spirit of God does. And that's why the psalmist says, your word I have what? I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So what the Holy Spirit does oftentimes when we're in circumstances, he'll bring scriptures to mind that we may have even thought we forgot. But that's why it's so important that we know these scriptures, that we hide them in our hearts, because if there's nothing there, there's nothing to draw from. We need the Word of God in us. That's why it's so important we be diligent to study and to meditate on the Word of God. But he says here, at any time you will be able to draw upon these truths. We need to be prepared for the days ahead, Peter is saying. So what happens when temptations come? Temptations come into our lives. We begin to think about what does the Word of God say? Well, wait a minute. Jesus was tempted. Hebrews chapter 2, 18. But he's able to come to the aid of those who are facing temptation. And when we feel like this, the weight of this temptation, I must be the only one who's ever gone through this. We think in the Word of God. Wait a minute. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has come upon you except that which is common to all men. This isn't unique to you or me. And we start thinking, where is this temptation coming from? We think back in James chapter 1. God does not tempt anyone. Satan may dangle the carrot, but the temptations come from our lusts that are within us. And we think about, how am I going to make it through this? We think of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus was tempted in every way as we were. And he's able to come to our aid. We are able to come to him, to call upon him, to come before the throne of grace, calling to mind these scriptures. When trials come and we're tempted to think, God's forgotten me. We think of that passage in 2 Corinthians. where he says the God of all comfort, that God's preparing us, that God's teaching us to rely upon him. How would we know that except for the word of God? We know from James 1, wait a minute, God's using these trials to build my character, to build your character, to build our perseverance. How would we know that? We're able to draw upon these scriptures that are hidden within our hearts. That's why it is vitally important. So do you see how important it is that we be reminded, that we remember, that we call to mind the Word of God? Peter saw it as vitally important to these believers that they needed to have this. You know what it's like? It's like having money in a bank account. And you have that debit card, and you know you can always draw upon that. To have these scriptures, to have this truth hidden in our hearts, that we can draw upon the truth of God's word in our lives. That's what Peter is driving home to us. Back in 1995, when they came out with the NASB, when they revised the 77 version of it, I remember buying a copy at that time. I was only a new believer for a little bit of time. But like many of you do, and I hope you do, I hope you mark up your Bible, underline, highlight, write in the margins. But over time, I just couldn't, after 20 years, I couldn't read the print, even with glasses on. So I kind of had to retire that one. But it had all my notes in it. And when I got a new Bible and I would read that, when I'd read through a book, I would look back and say, what did I write years ago? And it's shocking when you look back. Sometimes you say, wow, where did I get that insight from? And where did it go? And you realize how much we really have forgot. We realize how prone we are. I would look through pasts and say, wow, that's so insightful, written in the margin of the Bible, and yet it was just gone. So we have to continually, because we are prone to spiritual forgetfulness, we need to have our souls stirred up by the word of the living God. And not only that, but we need to be prepared for the days ahead. And I'm sure you, like me, you want to be like Peter. When you know your departure is imminent, when you know your time is running out on this earth, don't you want to have that confidence that he has? I'm just going to lay aside this earthly tent. God is just going to lay it aside, and I'm going to be with him. That comes from trusting in God, knowing his word, and believing in his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminders in Scripture, the truths in your word, Lord, that we're a forgetful people. But thank you, Lord, you've given us the wonderful means of grace to read your word, to meditate upon it, to hear it preached and taught. Lord, continue to stir our souls with your word. Prepare us, Lord, strengthen us for the days that are ahead. Continue to remind us of your truth, Lord, that we would continue to grow and become the men and women you've called us to be in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.